I mentioned earlier the unlikely pairing of two individuals on opposite sides of the political spectrum, Al Gore and T. Boone Pickens. I've known Al Gore for more than a quarter of a century. I've followed T. Boone Pickens for just as long, but have only recently gotten to know him. No one would have ever imagined the Democratic majority leader of the United States Senate and the wealthy Republican entrepreneur T. Boone Pickens being here in Las Vegas singing the same song, the same verse, "The Day for Clean Energy Has Arrived." It's my pleasure to introduce to everyone in Nevada and everyone with the sound of my voice, my friend, T. Boone Pickens.
That's all we need. We need a tall one, though. Senator, thank you very much. I wondered how I would feel at this summit. I don't see many people here from my party. I'm making new friends. That's good. The senator and I have played on opposite sides, as you well know, for many years. And it's good to be on the team with Senator Reed and the rest of you. We're on the right track. There's no question about that. This, though, know this, it's totally nonpartisan as far as I'm concerned. And we all know that when we're trying to accomplish something in Congress, that if we can possibly get bipartisan support, we know something's going to happen. And I'm convinced that something will happen here. Let me tell you how I came upon where I am today. You know, I've been in the business for over 50 years. I'm a geologist, graduated from Oklahoma State University in 1951, and have been in the business continually since then. Somebody, the other day, we ran a focus group, and this woman saw all the stuff that we were presenting, and she said, "Is this guy terminal or something?" Peter Hart said that, wait a minute, said, "Explain what you mean by terminal." She said, "He's caused all these things to happen because he was in the oil business, and is he dying and he wants to clean himself up before he goes?" I don't feel guilty about being a geologist finding oil, because I look out there and I see all of you, and you're using it. I'm using it. And, you know, I'm a little bit, when I see the Congress and the Senate trying to figure out why the oil price is going up, and I want to say to them that cut through it and look at yourself. Look at me. Look at us. We're to blame for what's happened, because we've become so addicted to oil. And if you go back and look at in 1970, we were importing 24% of the oil. And then the Gulf War came in 91, and we were importing 42%. And now we're coming up on 70%. Now, you can hear me okay, can't you? Good. Let me put a couple of numbers. I know all of you can't see this, so I'm going to write really large. But we now are importing almost $70 billion worth of oil every year. I can promise you, and I know what I'm talking about, $700 billion is a number that's going to go up, not down, unless we do something about it. And we can do something about it. We have the power to do that, and we must do it. Okay, the $700 billion, if nothing's done, I felt like for the last 40 years kind of that I've been in a boat that's on the Niagara River, and I'm floating now for 40 years. It's nice. It's beautiful. Everything's fine. But someplace after a few years, 20 or 30 years, I start to get concerned about the equipment in the boat. There's no oar, there's no motor, there's no preserver. It's just me and the boat. And I'm drifting. And my hearing is not as good at 80 as yours is, but I'm starting to hear water. And I'm getting close to the faults. And that's where I see our country today. We are getting very close to a disaster. $700 billion a year going out of the country. Now I'm amused when I see my critics say, that's commerce. We're buying something and we're getting something. It's an exchange of money for goods. Let me tell you, if I can exchange that money for goods in America, that's commerce, not going out of the country. If I can create jobs, make profits, pay taxes, that makes the economy go forward. This geologist is not an economist, but I can understand that. So here we are, $700 billion going out of the country. What can we do to cut that number down? When you look at our options, we don't have many. Okay, we've got oil, and that's in decline, and we're producing 5 million barrels a day and 2 million barrels of natural gas liquids, which will act as oil. Okay, and then we look at the world production a day, and it's 85 million barrels. Okay, 85 million barrels, and we are using 21 million of that. Seven of ours, 21, and we've got the ethanol advantage here, and that did cut us. First, let me say, I am for everything American. Everything. And I'm opposed to one thing, foreign oil. So I've had, and we're going to win this. We're going to win it, I promise you are, because one, I'm in a hurry because of my age. And I've got the problem analyzed well, and I have a solution, and I'll come to that. But here we've got 21 million barrels that we use. That is 25% of this number, and we have 4% of the population, and we only have 3% of the reserves. So now here we are using 21 million barrels a day, 25% of all the oil in the world every day that is available to the market, and we only have 3% of the reserves. Something is out of whack. And I have the economists tell me again, but you see that we have more GDP than anybody else. GNP, what is it? Okay, you got it. You know what I'm trying to say. But I don't care. I mean, we are using way beyond what we should be using. Okay, now I'm listing I've got the largest reserve of anything, coal. We've got natural gas. We got biofuels. And we've got hydro. And we've got wind, solar, and nuclear. Now, I'm trying to get the $700 billion down. What do I have to work with? There it is. That's our arsenal against the $700 billion. Biofuels has been pretty good to us, but We're all running into problems now because it's affecting food cost. So I think that's pretty well run its course, that we're not going to get any more than what we've got. Now what do we have? You've got the only one in the group is natural gas. It's the only one. It's the only thing. Now, I know Al Gore and I talk about this subject, and Al wants to get to electric in 10 years. It's not realistic. We can't get there that quick. We've got to get the renewables, the wind, the solar. There we're going to get the electric, and all of this is going to take some time. We need to bridge from today to the electric or to the hydrogen, to the next generation. We're not there. We got lucky because a technique was developed 5 years ago to fracture carboniferous shales such as the Barnett Shale, which is now the largest gas field in America, located inside of my office. That's true. It's not in my office. I wish it was. I'd be richer than I'm rich. But anyway, the Barnett Shale, they've drilled under DFW Airport. And it covers five counties. It's created a great amount of wealth and jobs, and the economy does extremely well in the Fort Worth, Dallas area because of the Barnett Shale. Now, a larger discovery has been found in North Louisiana called the Haynesville. And that's five times as big as the Barnett. And then you have the Marcellus up in western Pennsylvania down to West Virginia, and that's twice as large as the Barnett. And then you have the Fayetteville in Arkansas, and that's as large as the Barnett. And you have the Woodford in Oklahoma. What I'm telling you, we lucked out. We have reserves that will more than take care of what I want to give you as my solution. But this is extremely important. Okay, now let me show you the... If you look at the power generation pie, that we all know that coal has 50% of it, nuke has 20%, and natural gas, and this is the one I want to focus on, 22% is natural gas. Okay, I would like to take this out of the pie and use it for transportation fuel. Now, I know that we can't take it all out because we need natural gas as a peaking fuel, and it's the cleanest of, well, nuke's clean too, but it's the cleanest peaking fuel that we have. You can turn it on for power generation, turn it off, turn it on, and it's very, very flexible in how that works. Okay, now, how do I get the 22% out of the power generation pie? If you look at the DOE study of April 07, very, very good study, that they clearly show you in the wind corridor in the central part of the country, east of the Rockies and from Texas to Canada, that we have ample wind in that corridor to do whatever we want to. I mean, we can create as much power as we want to out of that corridor. Now, if you also look at the corridor for solar, it would be from Texas to California. If you look at the model, everything I give you has a model, and not R&D. Am I post R&D? Of course not. But I don't have to say when we get R&D, we're going to have an answer, and that's going to take me 3 years or 5 years or 20 years. I've got a model. Today's model is Sweetwater, Texas, 200 miles west of Dallas. Sweetwater, Texas got into the wind business, the area developed for wind, 2,000 megawatts. That was a typical rural American town that had gone from 12,000 down to below 10,000 people, and with the wind has now recovered to above 12,000. And 25% of the jobs in that town are wind related. That can be done all the way from Sweetwater, Texas to Canada, and from Texas to, the way I'm explaining this on Texas, it sounds like Texas is on the end of the deal, you know, say from Texas to Canada. So we're not going into Canada. You think, well, is Texas in the deal? Sweetwater's down in the middle of Texas, so we go through the Texas Panhandle. So we're in that. And I'm building a 4,000 megawatt wind farm at Pampa, Texas, which is 200 miles north of Sweetwater. But then Sweetwater West, actually the solar corridor is better west of Texas and on to California. But so many jobs are going to be created in these corridors if we can develop a system, if we can come up with the exit of the power out of the corridors to the east and west coast. Tough question, and Congress is going to have to provide that for us. We need to have the PTC, the production tax credit, which the Democrats have been for. Both parties say they're for it. I've talked to them, but this is hard for me. I'm not real astute from a political standpoint. When both sides say that we're for the PTC, we're for, so God, why don't you pass it then? And it, so they're for something plus the PTC, and we want something plus the PTC, and we can't, and okay, we're logged up and we don't get it passed. But anyway, we're going to, because this is so important to this country. We're back nonpartisan at this point. Now, if you look at that study that and assume it to be good, and we do believe it's a good study because we did one, it's almost laid down side by side, that if you look at the wind, that you can do 20% wind. Well, you can do, I'm going to use 22 because it fits my model here. So now, wait a minute, you're laughing at me, but you've got enough wind in that corridor, you could do 40%. I'm serious. 20% is 200,000 megawatts, and the cost of that's about $500 billion. And it needs a production tax credit, but to do 200,000 megawatts, you need a $15 billion a year tax credit, but $15 billion is insignificant compared to the $700 billion. Thank you. You're listening. That's good. That's good. Okay, now, I do 22%, and this all can be done private money. It doesn't require, only the tax credits you got to have. Okay, do the wind, all right? If it goes here and you take the natural gas to transportation fuel, you can reduce the $700 billion by 38%. Now that's a number. I always like to say this, but you remember Crocodile Dundee when he was in that dark spot and he was with the girl and he was, somebody attacked him and she said, "Dundee, he's got a knife." And he reached back and pulled out that knife about this long. He said, "This is a knife." That 38% is a number. That is a big, big number. You pull this off, and you'll cut that, obviously, by about $300 billion, $250 billion. But that's, I'll take it. And the way it all unfolds is not complicated. What will happen, the first thing somebody says is that, wait a minute, the infrastructure's not in place. The infrastructure's not that difficult, because 30% of the transportation fuel used every day in America comes from goods movement. So we're talking about trucks. I'm not so interested in your car. I'm interested in those trucks. And I can do the trucks fast because, and this doesn't call for retrofitting. The truck fleets like Swift, for instance, their fleet of 20,000 trucks turns over every 2.5 years. They're buying 23 Kenworths every day. And when you look at that, you say, well, yeah, you don't have to get rid of what you have, but change it when it runs out. And I think within 5 years, we can reduce the dependency on foreign oil by 30%. 30%. And we can do better in 5 to 10 years. We're talking about real numbers here. And remember, natural gas is ours. It's half the cost of gasoline and diesel. It's clean. We're cleaner by 70% than gasoline, 80% than diesel. You've got something that's going to bridge you to the battery or hydrogen, but it'll be the next generation. And if it just so happened we got the battery sooner to do the job, that, you know, I hear people say, well, you can't believe how far we are along on the battery. You can get 50 miles out of it now. 50 miles? That's great. You just want to be sure that you're only going 25 miles from home and that, you know. And but here you've got a fuel, and we've been able to develop enough reserves that we can pull this off. Now, I believe that the other side that sells us, and by the way, it just so happens to be a very similar number, percentage, that our imports from the Mideast and Africa, the two most unstable areas, is 38%. And see, I get to thinking that somehow this is divine intervention, that we show up with all this gas at this critical point, and that we would like to reduce the most risky oil that we have, and that happens to be the same thing we can do if we put the wind in and take the natural gas out. So, and somebody says, well, that's easy. You just went out and figured all that up yourself and came out with those numbers. That's not right. I didn't do that. This is a straight presentation here. I haven't jiggled the numbers or anything. I want to look at my notes and be sure I haven't forgotten something, but the two things that I'm trying to solve here is, one, the dependency on foreign oil because of how it affects our economy, and the second thing I want to get is the security. And there's no question, we have a real security problem importing 70% of our oil. I mean, we could be brought to our knees very quickly. We got the SPR, and that would give us a little relief if we didn't get things straightened out. But if something got cut off from us, say 20 or 30% of our supply, I think we'd come to immediate halt. When you look at the Georgia situation now, this is an old guy that, you know, I should have looked at that clock when I came up here and I'd know how long I've been up here, wouldn't it? But I just now spotted it. So I hope I'm not going over time. I'll tell you one thing. Senator Reed will get me down if I go too long. But the Georgia deal, I see that as that the Russians, see, there's an 850,000 barrel a day pipeline in Georgia that now has been shut down, and 150,000 barrel a day. That, I think, added 1 million barrels a day. Let me tell you, 1 million barrels a day out of a supply of 85 million for the world, 1 million barrels a day can sure cause things that are in tight supply to get tighter and tighter. So the Russians now are rich. They have a lot of money, and we don't have any oil, and I think we're in a spot where we're not going to be able to do anything but file a strong protest is about all we're going to be able to do. I don't get the idea that I want to go over there and do anything much more than that anyway. I'd rather they'd work out their own problems. But anyway, here I'm coming down to a conclusion on all this, but what we have to have is, coming up in this next election, we're going to have leadership that's going to take it to the people and explain to them. Now, on mypickensplan.com, a poll was out on it this last weekend. 74% of the people liked the idea. They said 65% of the people said Congress will block it. That was kind of disappointing. I wish I hadn't looked on page 2, just read 74. But I don't believe that. I think that we're coming up on a point here where everybody is going to recognize it. And that was what I set out to do. I had long conversations internally and had talked to Madeline, my wife, about it and all. And in the middle of the night, about 3 months ago, well, I said, you know, Madeline, I said, there isn't anybody explaining energy to America like energy is. I said, I'm not so sure that they don't understand, but I don't think people are dishonest. So I said, and this is in the middle of the night, and so I went for about 3 or 4 minutes. She said, let me tell you what, in the morning, why don't you go tell them? And let's go back to sleep. And the next day I did. I put together a team, and I committed a 58, when they told me the budget, if you said, if you want this kind of coverage to get this kind of message out, this is what it's going to cost you. And it was $58 million. And I don't have any partners on this. It's Boone and Madeline, and she's sleeping better now. So, and I said, let's go do it. Let's elevate the question to number one in this debate. And I have to be totally out of this presidential race, and I am. And so I wanted it elevated. I have had a meeting now with Senator McCain and Senator Obama. I would say that both are equally concerned about the problem, which is good. I hope that's the way they'd see it. They could not have been more respectful and accommodating. I told both of them, I said, look, the way I see myself presenting to you today, I said, you are the commander-in-chief, and I'm working for you, and I'm a general, and I have found something that I think you need to know about, and I think I have a solution for our problem. And that's the way it was approached. It was totally professional everywhere in the discussions we had, which was good. It was I thought it would be that way, and that's the way it was. But what we've got to come out of here with is we have to have a plan in the first 100 days, because I am going to continue to drive my points. I'm going to have more ads, and both candidates complimented me on what I was doing, which I appreciated. And I'm going to have more ads. I'm going to try to do a good job of educating people as to the energy situation. But I think that when we get in the first 100 days, well, what I want is the candidates to come with a plan before the election. And their plan would be that they would reduce a minimum, and this has nothing to do with conservation, because that's another issue, and we can help ourselves there too. But we can, that the 10 years, that they would be able to reduce our dependency by more than 30%. Now, I think that's a minimum figure. And I think that I could get 50% out of it. So, but I always, I always think I can do things that maybe I can't. But, I've done some things, and I've tried to do a lot of things. But we have to have from the two candidates that they can reduce it by 30%. Now, everybody from Richard Nixon forward, and I became very sensitive to this question or statement that candidates both sides were making, is elect me and we'll be energy independent. And I said, why do they keep saying that? Somebody said, well, because they think they can. And I said, but nobody ever holds them to it. And they're elected or not elected or whatever, but they all say we'll be energy independent. And I said, why doesn't somebody, and you all know that, you don't know this probably, but I've advised one candidate and one missed candidate that, and I'll explain what I mean by that in a second, but Bob Dole asked me to be his chairman for Texas in 1996, and I said, okay, if I'm the chairman, then I get to be the energy advisor. And he said, well, I want you to be. You know a lot about energy, and so I want you to be the advisor. So, okay, I finally figured that clock out. I've got 2 minutes and 41 seconds, so I'll make it, too. Okay, and Bob Dole said that, sure, you're the energy. So I went 2 months. First thing you do with one of those guys, you're raising money for them, and that's what they always want to talk to you about. We need more money. We need more money, So I had a quiet time with him, and I said, let's talk about energy. And he said, okay, I'm ready. So I talked about energy, and I told him, this is 96, I said, if you're elected two terms, that by 2002, you're going to be this deep in energy problems. Wrong. That it was 08. I was off by 6 years, but I could see this coming up, and I thought it was coming up faster than it did. And he said, okay, now I'm going to teach you something about politics. He said, you see that dog there? And I said, no dog there. He said, yes, there's a dog there. It's a sleeping dog. I said, well, if you say so. And he said, politicians do not wake up sleeping dogs. Energy's a sleeping dog. And he said, Bill Clinton's not going to wake up that dog, and I'm not either. And I'll be damned, they went through 96 and never mentioned energy. He was right. And so that was the end, because he lost. And now fast forward to Rudy Giuliani was my candidate in the summer of 07. I decided Rudy was the guy that could get there. And I said, but if I'm going to help you, I'm going to be the energy advisor. And I said, and please do not get up and say that you're going to be energy independent if you're elected, because you can't produce that. That's going to take time, and a lot of planning to do it. And he said, okay, I got it. 2 weeks later, elect me and you'll be energy independent. But the total time I had with Rudy was 5 minutes on energy. That was it. And I told him, I said, you, by the time you get to November of 08, you will be this deep in energy problems, and it will be the number one issue. Okay, and that's, I did get that right on the timing. I didn't get it right on Giuliani. And so, but anyway, I'm out of this. You all know that I am. And we're down to a point where leadership's going to be key in the first 100 days. If we could get an energy solution, and I believe we have one, and I've been open on the point, if you have a better plan, tell me what it is. And this is all about America. It's what we're talking about. He's not talking about Boone Pickens. We're not talking about Democrats or Republicans. We're talking about America on this one. And they've got to have a plan, and we've all got to work together. The leadership has to tell the American people, look, we are together. This is not a war where people are killed. This is a war, though. And don't think it isn't, because we have to reduce the dependency on foreign oil. Thank you very much. Thank you.